In this conversation, you will hear Deborah Silverman call herself an alkaline crazy, a salad freak, and a peculiar personality, which doesn't necessarily make you want to get to know her. However, if you spend just 1 minute in her company, you will be riveted. Deborah's charm, humor, and insight are captivating. Her ability to see into the heart of a person and her compassion for the human race are unparalleled. After more than 40 years studying astrology, Deborah has an uncanny ability to read people and the planets and put it all into context for a greater understanding. My interview with Deborah in late October took place in the wake of several natural disasters, hurricanes, wildfires, and a typhoon, as well as the mass shooting in Las Vegas, one of the largest in U.S. history. This is to say nothing of the current political climate, with an administration that seems bent on destroying public education, women's rights, the environment, race relations, and freedom of the press. Knowing Deborah's remarkable perspective and discernment, I asked her, what in the world is going on?
We're in a transition that the prophets predicted. This is not a complete surprise to those that knew that the times were coming, the Hopis and the old Kali Yuga and any system that has been around for a long time has known that we would reach a certain pitch where we'd have to review the nature of our species, and that's really where we're at. So all of these are symptoms. It's kind of like, the way I like to think of it is that Mother Earth is giving birth, and she's in a transition right now where she's, if you've given birth, where we're in so much pain and everything looks wrong, just like you would see if a woman was in a hospital room giving birth, and you would be in total terror, like everything that could go wrong is going wrong. And it is a good question. Will she have a healthy birth? Will we make this transition? Will there be midwives in the room? Will there be wisdom around her to provide what she... Or will we be so captured by the fear and the pain that we won't be able to hold steady and it won't be a healthy birth? So there is kind of a mystery going on right now, but it is predicted. It's not a surprise.
How long will it last? Do we know that?
It's going to last for the next 25 years, yes, easily. This is not going to go away. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Have you heard of the Kali Yuga? It's a prediction that the species would reach a certain pitch of evolution and or the opposite, devolution, not evolving, but devolving, and we'd have to make a decision as a collective. So all of the contributions that we make as yogis and as astrologers and as Reiki masters and spiritual beings, we're trying to help the vibration to not be afraid. And that's our job. That's what the job of all of us is to see if we can be wise enough and steady enough to not be captured by fear, because it's going to continue to get worse. Just think of a woman giving birth and you'd never seen it before, and you were in the room. You would be terrorized.
Yeah.
Wow. She's screaming, she's yelling, she's in pain. There's no end in sight. It's getting worse. And then at the end comes a baby that nobody would have predicted. There is the possibility of our birthing an entirely new, and that's what's going on. The computers and mechanisms and technologies are creating a different version of our species. And if we aren't honorable or we aren't kind or we're not thinking about alternative energy or alternative economies or how to teach children, we're going to have an old system that dates us, and it will be a very difficult birth.
So how do you advise clients to take care of themselves and practice good self-care in the midst of all of the chaos?
Well, I think you've got a corner on the market. I think, you know, people don't like to talk about it. I talk about it all the time, as food is such an important factor. And I don't think the collective is so pained. We're in so much pain that we use medicine I call it medicinalizing. That's a word I made up. We use medicine to help us feel better. So that's everything from sugar to carbs to alcohol to pot to... Like, there's a million versions of what people use, to spending money, to having sex, to being fixated on television shows and video games. These are all the ways the human species distracts itself. So if you wanted to become conscious and change your nature's response to the pain body, like do a different version of responding, you'd want your system clean and still and calm. So what I do is I neutralize my body all day long with alkaline. I'm just an alkaline crazy.
And by doing so, then you're responding instead of reacting?
Exactly. My system's soft. I'm not reactive. I'm not hyper. I'm not scared. I'm in a very peaceful state. And when things get thrown at me, because I too am a yogi, and I'm also very physical. My whole life I was a dancer. So every day I do yoga, or I swim, or I play. Every single day I do something to keep my nervous system healthy. And that's why I'm 83. People think that I'm 50.
40. Yeah. I would have guessed 40.
I never know how old I am. But I broke the code many years ago that the simple, and it's funny having this conversation because I don't tell people this. Like, I went to my 50th or 40th high school reunion, and everyone kept saying, like, why do you look exactly the same? Because I stopped eating meat when I was 7.
Mm.
Because I don't drink wine except on minimal occasions in great small doses. Because everything I do is without, like, I don't do dairy. I don't do cheese. I don't do milk, which has kept my body from having, you know, dairy problems and fat and the things that people don't realize are making them puffy.
Is that inner wisdom that guided you to that, or were you following a specific practice? I know you describe yourself as a yoga maniac. Was that an offshoot of your yoga practice?
You know, I was 7 years old and I couldn't eat the meat. I don't know why, but my family thought I was crazy. So that would be inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a drink till I was 40 years old. That was inner wisdom. I don't know why I didn't drink. I just thought the stuff tasted like nail polish remover and couldn't figure out why people were drinking that weird stuff. And they looked so weird after they drank it. They all got weird, my friends. I found, you know, I was a dancer from the age of 5 on, and so yoga just was a complete fit. And then I found out, oh, my God, this stuff is really helping my body. So it wasn't like I was following any doctrines or someone telling me. I just was a very individual. I've always been, that's funny, I've always been a very strong individual. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to eat what you tell me to eat because you want me to eat this white bread that tastes like, ugh, I can't do it.
What do you eat now?
I'm a rabbit. I'm a salad freak.
Mm-hmm.
And my body doesn't require very much protein. So I have, you know, a smoothie every day with coconut water, and I put in, a vegetarian protein powder and a banana and some chia seeds and some, I drink a green juice every day, and I'm just a very simple, and I don't eat very much. It's hard to understand. I mean, it's been that way since I was a kid. I don't require a lot of food. So I'm not a very good example for people because I found out that what makes me happy
mm-hmm.
is being able to fly. So I'm a very light, my touch in this world is very soft. Less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm going to eat dessert, I'm going to have 2 bites and go, that was so good.
A little piece of chocolate or something.
Yeah. Minimalism is my specialty, but that's a very peculiar personality. And it's because I don't medicate myself. I live with pain, well, not physical pain, but mm-hmm. this planet really hurts me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't avoid it. I just admit it.
It seems part of an embodied practice to admit it. It's almost required rather than escaping your body. If you want to remain in your body, it seems requisite to acknowledge that pain and to be able to find ways to cope.
It's true. And the pain is emotional. I live in a pain-free body. I remember once taking a yoga class. This was probably like 5 years ago. And a teacher I really liked, and he started the class by saying, okay, wherever your body's hurting, whatever the aches and pains or whatever you've got going on, I want you to increase it and let that part of you really become present during this class. And then he did it again in the next class. He was like, okay. And then I came at the end of the class, and I was like, Matt, I don't have any body pain. And he was like, what? Everybody has something. I was like, I don't. And that's when I realized, wow, most people have a certain amount of... And I ask people now, like, are you in pain? Like, do you experience pain in your body?
I experience pain in my hip. I have since I was little.
Yeah, so I'm a wimp. I can't stand pain. As soon as it starts, I pray, and I bring in the best healers I can find. And I broke my shoulder, I broke my clavicle 2 years ago, and it took a long time to find the right healer, and I went through a lot of money, but it's totally gone now. This planet's too painful to start with. I don't want my body to hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and you have you do so much for other people and offer so much. I don't know that you could do as much, be as effective in the world if you were in pain.
It's true. You're so right.
So how has yoga changed you?
Hold on. How has yoga changed me? Such a great question. I think it's simply the fluidity of my body's effortless response to impulses that come through. One, the yoga class, but then off the mat, my body has no problem. Like sitting on an airplane, I just sit, I snuggle. My body's just been my best friend because of yoga. That's what I could say. As an aging process,
mm-hmm.
it has prevented what I think would have happened when I look at my brothers, the people that are my age,
sure.
and I see how much they suffer. I don't have that because of yoga.
And your green juice.
And my green juice.
That's
and how
great.
Much water I drink. And my consumption of minimalism. You know, I've got a lot of factors. And I live in Hawaii half the time. I mean, come on.
It's great. It sounds like a great life.
My theory is if you're going to live on this planet, this is just me. It's so hard to be here for me. It hurts. I feel lonely at times, even when I'm in the middle of my family. I feel disconnected from the politics and understanding why the government is so unconscious. I can't figure out how people can have money and not share. So there's so many things here. I just go, what?
Sure. Yeah, I relate.
But I found such pleasure in serving people and being vibrationally calm enough to bring in a softness and a kindness. That's what it is. I'm addicted to kindness.
That's lovely. One of the reasons I was interested in talking to you is because I was thinking about, mostly I wanted to talk to you just because you're fun and I always learn when I hear you speak. But another reason is that yoga and astrology are both methods of personal inquiry. And do you agree with that?
100%. They're best friends. If you write
best
yoga.
Friends. Yes.
And then at the end, it ends in an A and you write astrology and it mm-hmm. ends with a Y. If you write yoga and astrology, they're one word.
Yoga astrology.
It just goes on and on and on. It's one word. So they are directly connected. And they're both ancient sciences. One works with the soul, with the agreement, and the other works with the temple, which the soul can't do without the temple. So they're best friends.
And you also have a background in psychotherapy, is that right?
Yeah, I have a master's in clinical psych.
Which also seems related to both practices.
You know, the psychology of yoga, I just find that so interesting. I haven't spent any time putting those two together. Certainly psychology and astrology are best friends. Mm-hmm. They're both talking about the psyche, but I don't know much about, I just know, all I know is that yoga never stops showing me my discipline. That's what I notice. I don't know, maybe that's weird.
Let's talk about astrology. How can astrology facilitate being grounded and embodied?
It's a full practice of embodiment, if you ask me, on the full, most profound sense. You study your own chart. I was just thinking about this morning. Because I've been doing astrology for over 40 years. So I've been practicing as a practitioner for 40 years, but I studied before that. And it doesn't a day doesn't go by where I don't go, oh, my God, that's such my chart. Like I'll do a behavior or I'll watch my idiosyncrasy and go, there's that Libra rising again. And it creates compassion because I'm like, people will say to me, where do you want to go for dinner? And I'm like, oh, my God, that's like a nightmare for Libra rising. Don't ask me that. Versus, I'm just going to, you know, sit here and suffer and make up an answer and get all. I said, no, don't ask me. I'm not making any decisions. It's not my thing. I'm not interested. You know, if you want to talk to me about ideas or you want me to make you laugh or you want me to work on your body, okay, but don't ask me those stupid. So I know where my boundaries are, and the embodiment allows me to be free to be myself.
And even more authentically, like more fully expressed self.
Yeah, completely. That's what it does. It gives you permission to be yourself. Everyone else is taken.
What's the best way for people? Now, you've been living with it for 40 years, and you know your chart so well that you can, you know, identify anything throughout the day and go, oh, that's so me. But what about for somebody who has really no idea, just kind of a, you know, casual, you know, they maybe know their sun sign.
I tell people this not because I'm self-promoting, but I wrote a book called The Missing Element. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a beginners. It's for people that don't know astrology and for people that really know astrology. It goes both. The book is a universal language based on an ancient system, the four elements, back to the Kali Yuga and the Hopis and the prophecy and the Mayans and the Egyptians. Everybody used the four elements. So my first suggestion is go figure out what element is missing and what's strong and cultivate it. It's just like the best short answer.
By cultivating the missing element, does that temper the whatever's kind of out of balance, whatever's strong?
Totally. Like I always describe it as there's four wheels in a car, and if one of the wheels is down, the car can't drive. So you want to have all four wheels full of air. So you go figure out which one of yours is missing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. You had an experience when you were 20 that blew your mind.
That was referring to how I found astrology and had my first reading. And it was like one of those woo-woo things where somebody can read, like when someone calls me for a reading.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the session, they're like, oh, my God, you know me better than my mom. That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Or when a couple calls me and they say, they hang up, the husband has a reading, and then the wife calls back and said, we decided that you know us better than we do. Can we have another session? I love that.
Wow.
it was kind of like that. Like somebody did a reading for me that made me go, what? And then it put me onto the path of astrology.
Have you gotten used to blowing other people's minds?
You know, I hate to say yes, but it's true. At this point, and this is the gift of getting into your 60s, is I've seen such concrete results with people with astrology. Like before you called today, I had a little boy, a 12-year-old on the phone with mm-hmm. his dad. And, you know, you can just nail somebody. Like, it's so much fun. Oh, my God. Yeah. The answer is yes. I'm used to people going, how did you know that? I think the biggest turning point in my entrance of the spiritual realm, I went to the dentist when I was 15 with my mom in the room, mm-hmm. and they gave me nitrous oxide. And at 15, I went out of my body, and I saw my body, and I saw, like, this whole download happened about spirituality and God and life. And I came back into the dentist chair with tears running down my face, and he said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know it hurt. And I was like, oh! And I told him everything I saw. Oh, my God, everything is nothing. It's not what you think it is. This whole existence is a relative world. There's no absolutes. He was like, what? The cool thing was he was spiritual. He had just come back from India, and he said to me, go to the Michigan Metaphysical Bookstore and tell them what you just told me. My mom was like, the what? The Michigan what? So we didn't go. And then fast forward a year later, I'm at the dentist. I'm now 16, and I drove myself there. So funny how I remember this. And it happened again, only this time it was like double whammy, like totally going to this other world, couldn't find my name, couldn't remember Deborah, couldn't access this world we're in, but downloaded so much energetically, like, don't worry, it's all good, this planet is really strange, you'll feel okay once this is over, like, what? And I came back, and again, I was crying, and the dentist this time said, go to the Michigan Metaphysical Bookstore, and I did. And that was the entrance of my spirituality, was making peace with this crazy download, which, by the way, I've been going to the dentist ever since, having nitrous every 4 months.
I was going to ask if you'd ever had nitrous again.
Yeah, I've never stopped.
What a riot. And has it happened again?
It happens every time, but not to, you know, you know, it's like that thing when you're the first of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still, yeah, I now have this thing called the Star Community. Have you heard about this? It's a new platform
yes,
on my website.
It's wonderful. Membership-based, right?
And it's a membership, and it came through on a nitrous oxide thing.
No kidding. That's how you get your downloads.
Well, not always, but yes.
Wow. And do you remember what book you bought when you went to the bookstore?
It was called Three Magic Words by U.S. Anderson, and I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But the three magic words are, you are God.
Before we go, what do you think is the most meaningful thing that a yogi can do to make a change on the planet?
You know, I know it sounds crazy, but I really think that if you become sensitized to the wisdom of your body, if you honor the temple from the way that you eat to the water that you drink, not being plastic, to the way that you do your yoga, and you honor your sensitivities, and you clean your space up, like all the physical, I think as an earth being, the physical plane being respected, money, and taxes and your car and the cleanliness and all that practical stuff, if that's tended to, the world will be different because you will have been an example of respecting the physical, the mother, the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a simple thing. I mean, it sounds simple.
It really
but
is.
But it's not easy to do because the pain body doesn't
right.
want us to get healthy. And the humans by nature are so we're just, I hate to say this, but I think we're badly designed. Because if we really chose health and taking care of this temple and this land that we live on and we shared, wouldn't that be the easiest thing in the world if it came naturally?
It would, but it almost seems like what you're describing is heaven, you know, optimal health and, you know, connection and purpose and meaning and clarity. It seems like it's a non-reality in this plane.
But we're going to be changing it by being yogis and taking care of our bodies. And we're just setting the precedent for the future. So our children's children, the seven generations, we are the ones getting them ready for the future. So my suggestion is, please don't underestimate the significance of your own personal life. As small or as big as it might be, if you refined it and you were a really good truck driver who really did eat well, and really respected everything about your, oh my God, the world would change in half an hour.
To learn more about Deborah Silverman or to sign up for the Star Community Membership Program, go to DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com. That's DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.